Now, this message, today's message, is actually the name of the message is God's plan from the book of Ruth, from the New Testament perspective. So this is a different angle. So here you will understand this message if you had gone through Romans chapter 6 and 7. If you have gone through Romans chapter 6 and 7 thoroughly, you will understand the New Testament perspective, how God intended, the full portrayal of what God is intending to do in these four chapters.
Check.
I had taken this one, but that was a general one. But this is from a very specific perspective of God. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1:28 is the key verse that God uses. God selected for His purpose the insignificant things of the world, and the things that are despised and treated with contempt, so that the things that are, He might reduce to nothing. So if we think that it is something that God will reduce to nothing, and God picks up for His purpose the insignificant things of the world and the things that are despised by all. So here you see how the sovereign God works. The sovereign God works not from our smartness. God works from, He wants us to be totally dependent on Him, and we should be nothing, so that He can make us His testimony, His witness. So here you see the Joseph's story that we learned before. Genesis chapter 50:20 says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present outcome. What is that outcome? God, the brothers thought that He will be dead, but God brought that situation for good in order to bring life to the murderers, to those brothers. This is how God works, because God loves everyone. God loves everyone. He is impartial, so He loves everyone. So He knows that if you take out the sin from man, he becomes a saint. So the sin part is the thing that is working in him, that is making him work against God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1:29 says that no one may boast in the presence of God. No one may boast in the presence of God. That is very, very, very important. If we consider that we are something, then we are gone. We are not before Him. We are not in the presence of Him. So depend upon God. Submit to God. May God take the glory, honor, and praise to Him alone. Amen. Preface of this message. God brings a very ordinary family to expose His plan and purpose concerning them. There came a famine, you know, and that everyone will think this is the time to relocate for a better future. And the place that we go normally, this is a similar example for us, will be a cursed place because of the worldliness. And then when it is proved wrong, it will be very, very, very difficult. So most of us will relocate for a small cause or a better or for a better future to some place, and then we fall into a very big trap. So then how now you see there Naomi and Ruth are going to be two models that we are looking at before we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. So here you see that first we will see about Naomi. Naomi, she had the family. She lost her husband first, and then two children were there. They got married and they were living happily. At that time, she lost the two sons also. Now she understood. Just imagine this, the fate of that lady at that particular point of time. Husband died, two sons died. There is nothing for her now. And she is in Moab. Now she understands that the decision was wrong. If you don't understand that the decision was wrong, then you will fall into a bigger pit. But when you understand the God's way and what you have done is wrong, that means you repent, then God starts working. God immediately starts working upon her. We see that God had a future, a plan for Naomi. He did not bring her into this pit and then brought her to this. No. She came and she repented about her doings. Then God used. So God will use only at your repentance. The repentance is important. So she, now God used her for a bigger purpose. And now we know that God is capable of changing your present situation for His glory. He is able to. Say amen. Amen. He is able to. He will change. Condition one, only one condition is that if you repent. If you repent, say amen. Amen. If you repent, God is going to work in you. Now, He is going to use you for His great commission. That is the beauty of Naomi. And God is preparing Naomi for a greater ministry. How do you know that Naomi repented, which you don't see in the Bible, that she repented? But we read that when she meets her people in Jerusalem, when she goes, she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. She was so much. She was so much empty, and she says that I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Now she testifies that the Lord has testified against me. She understood that her ways and her plans were all wrong. And she says, God has testified against me. And she lived with her two daughter-in-laws. And the reason why the daughter-in-law saw a very different Naomi there, because they were there with her, and you see, Ruth and Orpha, they were not ready to leave Naomi. Why? Because they saw the godliness in her. They saw the godliness. And when you hear the Ruth's oath, you understand how much they valued whom? Whom? Naomi. You are just hearing, I think the next verse, if I don't ask you as a question, you will just hear as a story. Further, when we go, there are very beautiful implications. Which, if you listen like a story, it will be a story to you. It will not affect your life. So you want it to be affected in your life? You want to be affected in your life? Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. What they understood is that this God is something different. This God of Naomi is something different. That is the difference that they saw in Naomi. So here, God gave the ministry of reconciliation, which is of the Holy Spirit, unto Naomi. And in that position, the Holy Spirit, who teaches, guides, and keeping an eye over you, how the Holy Spirit guides you, the same way you see that Naomi is guiding Ruth. Now, you will have a ministry, because this is talking about two ladies. One is who is coming to the Lord, and how blessed she is. And another lady is that she has come to know her mistakes and repented, and now she is given a ministry of reconciliation. So there are two ladies, the two effects which we have. When we come to the Lord, we have all the blessings. But when that blessings are not to be with us, it has to be given to others. And then only the blessing of Abraham will fall upon us. So there, the second part is Naomi. So that is what you have seen here. Now, we know that Ruth clinged to her. Clinging to her is something very different. How did she cling? How did Naomi impact Ruth is what we are going to look at now. Ruth, we see that Ruth clinged to Naomi. Now, how the Ruth is so important, because that talks about us. Ruth is the bride of Christ, and it talks about us. Here we see the oath. Ruth chapter 1, 16th verse says, Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." So you see that the oath of Naomi is a very different one. You see, the oath of Naomi is a very different one. Can you compare with anything that was in your life? Think whether that was there in your life at one stage. When you come to the Lord, Bible says you are a new creation. New creation. Here you see. That wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Doesn't it reflect to the salvation? Everything changes. Everything, even our friends, our relations, how we worship, everything, your place, where you live, everything changes. Everything changes. And wherever you die, I will die there, and I'll be buried. Only the death can separate me and you. This is the relationship. This is the oath that Ruth took. Now, when someone takes such a decision in their life, you are called the disciple. You are called the disciple. When you read Luke chapter 14, 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So here in this verse, you see that some people say that Jesus is a family relationship breaker, because he says that he wants all the love. Do you believe in that? When you believe in God, God makes the family relationship, because God is interested in your family unity. So God is working in your family. That is why God says to have the unity. Unity is very important in Christian faith. Unity. Unity is possible only in Christ. When you come to Christ, you give your life to God. Everyone, all these people is united in Christ. But if you are not having God, you are all separate individual, having a different character. Now you have a common character here, that is the love of God. Say amen. That is binding every one of us here. So now, who could be a real bride? Who could be a real bride? Can you explain a situation that who could be a real bride? A real disciple. Now you know the answer. Only a bride. Only a bride could be. You know, when a marriage is fixed, unlike now, I don't know how it is done now, but before, you don't know about this boy you have seen once, or girl you have seen once, and you enter into an oath. How? With all the defects, with all the good things in him, you are accepting him. And you believe that God will work in him and make united. Because in the, I don't know whether you have given ear to the words of the priest. He says, in famine, in riches, in, you know, when you are sick, when you are not, in all the situation, you are to share. This is only possible for a bride. So bride position, if you ask me, bride's position is that is why we are considered as bride of Christ. Say amen. Amen. So we can share in every goodness of his. In every goodness of his. Okay. Let's look into Ruth. We have seen that Ruth has taken a decision, and everything has become new for her. And Naomi also is a new person now. Now they both are entering where? Jerusalem. They are coming into Jerusalem. And when they came to Jerusalem, it was the time of harvest. That shows the beauty of the time. It shows the beauty of the time. Now, you will see how she came to Boaz and how she got united. We will be going through that. In Ruth chapter 2, 8, Boaz went to Ruth and told her, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here and with us. When you gather grain, don't go to any other fields." See, he has God. Jesus has Boaz, stands for Christ. And Christ now has God, has concern for his bride. And he says, don't go to any other field. Stay right here. Then in the ninth verse, "I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And if you are thirsty, please come and have enough water from the well. Now you see that he is, Jesus is now, Boaz is working for Ruth, finding, having a soft corner, because the reason how he left everything, even their gods, their relatives, without any relation, now they are here. Now in the tenth verse, you see that she is astonished by this love, and she says, Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. And then, what have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. I am only a foreigner. 11th verse. Yes, I know, Boaz replied. But I also know about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you have left your father, mother, and your own land to live here among complete strangers. See, that is the decision that God values. How you have taken, what decision you have taken, what you have forsaken for God, God takes it into consideration. So here he says that this is why I am having soft corner for you. That is the answer to Ruth, who is asking, what have I done to deserve such kindness? When we sit before God, the answer, one of the saints, he said, the first thing that when I meet God, Christ, I will ask him, what did you see? What goodness that you saw in me? That should be the question for each and everyone, because we don't deserve. Here you see that what have I done to deserve such kindness? Then in the 14th verse, we see that Boaz is bringing her unto the bread breaking also. Boaz stands for Christ, and you see that, come over here and eat. You have to understand that, what was she? She was a picker, nothing more than that. She was a picker who stood behind the servants. She was nothing more than a picker. And from there, God is taking her future to what level? She becomes the owner of the whole land. This is what God does when we submit our lives to God. He is looking for an opportunity. The opportunity is to repent and submit to God. And when you submit to God, we all say that we submit to God, I also say. But at times, we will step in and start working ourselves. This is where we fail. This is where we fail. We have to go back to the Lord. Now, here we see that he is asking her to share the table. And then from there onwards, the Holy Spirit, Naomi, is now seeking a rest for her. You see that she is seeking a rest. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. This is what the Holy Spirit does. I will instruct you and teach you in the way. Now God provides Naomi in the form of Holy Spirit to guide her and teach the way that she has to go by keeping an eye over her. So this is what the Holy Spirit, why God gave the Holy Spirit when you were saved, when you had the salvation, is that Holy Spirit now is there to guide you. He will tell you to be silent. Don't work by your own way. That he will say. Now, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, as her daughter-in-law with her, came to Bethlehem. That we read. And Accidentally, we always say, accidentally, I don't know how I came to the Lord. Accidentally, I came to the Lord. That is how God works. Accidentally, she came to Boaz's field. Who came to Boaz's field? Who came to Boaz's field? Naomi, no? Ruth. Okay. Ruth came to Boaz's field. So, in the 19th verse, she asks, "Where did you glean today?" And she says, that it is in Boaz's field. Then Naomi says that he is the closest one of the redeemers in the 20th verse. And in chapter 3:1, she directly says that now you have been working here, we are here, now is the time that you should find a rest. And third chapter 1, Naomi says, "My daughter, it's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for." Naomi guides her to be the bride. Now you can read the second, third and fourth. Naomi advises her to go in the night by taking bath, purifying herself. That has got meaning. Don't look at the literal meaning. Literal meaning will be very interesting, but not the literal meaning. Naomi is advising her by purifying herself and go in the night, and in the midnight, she goes there and she finds that Boaz is sleeping, and she took the blanket and she slept underneath. As Naomi guided. And she did that. After some time in the night, suddenly Boaz got up and he saw one lady lying down under his feet. He suddenly stood up and then he said, "Who are you?" And she says that, "I am your servant." Now, in the fifth verse, Ruth 3:5 says, Ruth replies that, "I will do exactly how you direct." And she goes and she does all these things. And then after that, suddenly when Boaz gets up, she finds a lady there. And it was astonishing for him. Then he says, and she tells him, "You are my redeemer. You are my redeemer." And when she says that, he says, "Yes, I am your closest redeemer, but there is one more redeemer who is there to redeem you. He is more closer than me. And if he does not do it, I will do it." Now you see that Jesus gives an assurance that I will redeem. Jesus has told us that I will not leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. And he said, "I will redeem you." And then then he vows, he said, "But if he is not willing, then as surely as God lives, I will redeem you myself." Then Naomi, she comes back and she tells Naomi. Naomi is waiting. Naomi has sent her daughter, and Naomi is waiting for her to come to know what he has said. And he says that this is what he said. And Naomi says, "Don't worry. Now he will work until this is done." So this is actually a verse for each and every one of us. When we submit to God, you have to be sure that God will work for you. God is going to do it. You should have the faith. Second Chronicles, where you see you see Jehoshaphat, he says that we are powerless against his mighty army. That is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 12. And then he says, we are looking for your help. Who are those who are standing in front of them? Not generals. All the children, wives, husbands, all those people, he has called for a fast, and he is standing and he is telling the Lord, we are looking for your help. And in the 15th verse, the prophecy comes. Listen to all the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. So when Naomi says, you rest, when the Holy Spirit says, you rest, what we need to do? We have to take rest. We have to be sure that God is working on that. Leave God to work on that. Now, the chapter 4, when this is full of God's work, because Jesus is doing. This is connected with Romans chapter 6 and 7, where you see that you die to sin, but if you are not dead to law, if you are working with law, the problem is when you act as per law, you are trying to satisfy God with your works. You are not having faith. Only faith can produce. Faith means if you want to have a faith in God, you should have the love towards God. Love towards God cannot be generated by our works. Love towards God is generated only by the real intimacy with God. So that is why God says faith is important. That is why the Bible says faith is important. So here you see that in the chapter 4:1, Boaz went to the town gate, and then Boaz now is working. You have to listen, otherwise you will lose out. We can talk afterwards. So please, I'm talking to those who are listening, but at the same time, talking. You know how it is? Like this. When I'm seeing, I have to say that. You know, because I want you to be blessed. Okay. So, Ruth chapter 4:1, he says, come over and sit down, my friend. I want to talk to you. And then he calls on the 10 leaders and asks them, and they are witnesses. The 10 leaders. They are witnesses. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who is this first Redeemer? Who? Law. Who all agree that it is law? No one is ready to lift their hands up. So you have not studied chapter 6 and 7. Romans. Have you completed? Okay, so that is law. Law, we read in Romans chapter 8:3 says, what law could not do, that was accomplished by Jesus. So here you see that he calls on the 10 leaders. The law has got 10 leaders, the 10 witnesses. And then he says, Naomi is selling the land. I should speak to you about it, so that you can redeem it if you wish, because he is the first Redeemer. The law was given first. So because of that reason, you can redeem it. Now he says, I will redeem it. Then he says, okay, if you are supposed to redeem, you have to redeem the Ruth, the Moabitess. You have to understand that Moabitess cannot be redeemed by the law. You have to understand that you and me cannot be redeemed by the law. You understand? Because we don't come after what the law says. The law says we are out of the tribe. So where we are okay, where we are not excuse me, I missed the verse. I should speak to you so that I if you wish. Of course, the fifth verse says, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite, the widow. Then immediately he says, I cannot redeem it for myself because I will lose my inheritance. Now, you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, the other side of it, Romans chapter 8:3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful flesh. Our sinful flesh means our sinful flesh always takes glory, will not pass on to God. So the because of that, what the law could not do, he has sent his own son in the body. In the body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son for our sins. Now, why in Galatians 3:21b says that the law could not give life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. If the law was able to give life, the law was not able to. Law was a book. And law was not able to, but Jesus gave his life. That is the difference. When there is life, you find love. When you give life, you find love. When you read the book, you don't find love there. The love only is there in action. So when God has given the life, that is the reason. That is a reason. As per law, the old man is still living. So naturally, we will keep the standard of the law. That is easy. For the old man, as per law, is always living in us. Because that old man is corrected many things, but the old man is still there. That has to die. That has to be crucified. That is what law could not do. So here, In Ruth chapter 4:7, this was then you see that this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation and in Israel. Here we see that this is in relation buying the inheritance. Now, when you change the chapels, we think that it is changing the chapel. No, Jesus paid a price, and that price was to buy you from the law and sin. That is how they change the chapels. They change the chapel is only to show that there is a price, and the price is paid by Christ. You understood? You understood that? That's very those who are really concentrating will understand. So that is the price that God has paid for you. So he says, buy it for yourself. And then what happened to Jesus? What happened to Boaz? Boaz lost his inheritance. Jesus was made a curse by the law, and he was crucified. So you understand? Jesus became the curse. When Boaz married Ruth, he lost the inheritance. Jesus was made a curse only in this world, not in the spiritual realm. Spiritual realm, he was a king by marrying, by giving life to the unworthy. So here, you see that a price was paid. And then, same chapter, the ninth verse. Now here you see, you are the witnesses of this day. I have bought all what is Elimelech's own, and all that was Chilion and Mahlon from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, the 10th verse, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife. Here you see that he declares that I have acquired. This is a big, very big event. That is what we read in the Bible everywhere, that the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb is a very big event. And the widow, now what happens to Ruth? Ruth was from a tribe which was not acceptable. Now he is now given a big value. And she was a widow. And now, what happened to her? She is having a household where she was not supposed to be anyone, but she became the great-grandmother of David. See what God is doing. The Ruth was a widow and she was a Moabitess. She could not enter the tribe of Israel for 10. It says that forever. 10 generations and forever, it says. So forever she was not able to come to the tribe of Israel. Now the whole thing is changed. Now she becomes the wife of Boaz. And what happens is Boaz lost what? The inheritance of law. So did that reflect how Jesus took our sins and he became a sin for us to make us righteous? Do you see the picture? Who all seen the picture? Can you raise the hands? What a beautiful plan of God concerning you and me. Can you value that? If no one gives value, don't go and say, go and fight with them that you did not give value. God has given you the best value. He has paid a price. Now, in the 11th verse, and all the people who were there at the gate, the elders said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. Who are these elders? The Ten Commandments, the law, are the elders. They say, we are witnesses. For what? For this big event. When you read Romans chapter 3:21, it says, now the righteousness of God apart from law is being witnessed by law and prophets. You see that? You studied this part. Now the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ, apart from the law is revealed. Without law, mean to say, now the law are witnesses. That is why you see that 10 commandments saying we are witnesses. And we are witnesses. And then, uh, and and then it says that from apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets. Now, my question towards you is, what was the reason that Jesus was crucified? Jesus was crucified because he challenged our righteousness. He challenged our righteousness and he became a curse. Now, when he challenged the righteousness, they took him as a most sinner, more than Barabbas, because he challenged. That is the reason he was crucified. This is for you. I just want you to know the bad side of our righteousness. And my question is, wouldn't us also would have been in the same crowd if we were there? If we were living at that point of time, my question is, would we also chant, crucify him? If you think that in that big crowd, Jesus was alone, there was no one to support him, and you also were standing, you are also a part of that. You are also a part of that. For whom Jesus has paid the price? For whom Jesus has paid the price? Now he took the blood. Who killed him? It is me who killed him. When you kill him, Jesus takes that blood of his and takes to the throne and says, this is the payment. This is the payment for his sin. And now you are relieved. And the blood is the price. Now, Jesus looks at you from the cross to say these words. Luke chapter 12, 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God. Why he says seek the kingdom of God? Why he says? If you need to have the kingdom character, you should work in such a manner how Jesus worked. So that is why he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God means not fighting for a peanut. Most of the things are peanuts which we fight for, and we spend a lot of money with the advocate. For what? Ultimately, you understand it was better that I would have left that case. And now he is into problem because his money is lost. All the money is now in whose pocket? In the devil's pocket, the advocate's pocket. I'm sorry if there is any advocate here. Sorry, I was just telling in this context, yeah. So here, then the 32nd verse, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is ready to give you the kingdom. What you need to do, sell what you have. Sell what you have and give alms. So this is what in the 33, not the money bags that you should have, the treasure, which is a treasure in heaven, that does not fail. So you have a treasure in heaven. Do not mind about worldly things. Give money. If you have money, it is not yours. If you have whatever you take for your need, and the rest belongs to God, that is to the outside people, the needy people. That we need to understand. That is the importance of Christianity, that we shouldn't be blind unto their needs. But we need to judge whether it is the right need or not. Because God has considered you as a servant. So here, In 1 Corinthians 1:28, again, God has selected for this purpose the insignificant things of this world and the things that are despised, treated with contempt, so that the things that are he might reduce to nothing, so that no one may boast in his presence. So this is God's plan. What is God's plan? Ephesians chapter 3:10 says, God's purpose is in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. In its rich variety means love, by love, to all the unseen rulers, authorities in the heavenly realm. So God's plan was to use us, this wretched person, being blessed not with money but with the heavenly riches, and then you bring people. This was the eternal plan. 11th verse says this was the eternal plan which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord, through not only me, through you, everyone. God has paid a price. You were not significant. You were not valued by anyone, but God values you. God wants you to share his kingdom. God's plan is to take you there. May God bless you all.
Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. I could hear that child's voice. I am blessed. I am blessed. Are you all blessed? Yes, God has spoken. I want you to go back and listen to that message as soon as our technical team upload it on the website. Because God's plan for us is that he loves us. He loves you, he loves me. And not just that alone. His plan is to use you. He's not just loving you. His plan is to use you. Brother has mentioned many things in that his message, but something which I've just jotted down here, I'm not going to go over the entire message, because when we are saying God loves you, sometimes you might be looking at your class, the class you belong to. You might be looking at your background. That doesn't matter. When God loves you, he shows you who he is and he uses you. Now, when brother said Ruth was of lower class, what class do you belong to? Do you think you are of lower class? But you know what Ruth did? She clinged to Naomi. And that changed everything. And what happened after this? She became the descendant of our Christ, of Jesus Christ. The question I'm asking you today is that, are you clinging to God? When you do that, you become a disciple. Those are part of what brother mentioned. What are we saying here? You need to submit to God. You release yourself to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will become your king's man. That's what he's going to be. And he will deliver you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. John 15, verse 4 to 5. Abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing. You won't be able to do anything unless you cling up with God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Brethren, that message is for you and I to know that God loves you. Irrespective of your background, he loves you. Romans 12:9 says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let us be on our feet. I want you to talk to God that, Lord, I've heard your message. Give me the spirit to cling up to you. Because when you submit to God, When you release yourself, he's going to use you. Talk to God that, Lord, I am willing to do this. But the flesh is creating barrier between me and you. Let your Holy Spirit go into my life. Let your Holy Spirit dwell in my life so that I can submit totally to you. Talk to God to help you. Talk to God to bring you more closer, that you are ready to submit. And you will become the descendant of the royal prince of the kingdom of God. The royal king of the kingdom of God. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless your holy name for your wonderful message we have heard this afternoon. We give you all glory and adoration because once again you've reminded us that we need to submit ourselves to you. Lord, the spirit for us to submit totally, that spirit you will endow us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, this message that we have heard today shall be firmly rooted in our heart in Jesus' name, so that we become part and parcel of your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Want to bless your son that you have used for us. We pray for more anointing so that we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Whenever we fire gun, we reload it. Fire, reload your son with your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the ministry you have given unto him, and bless the work of his hand in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you and bless your holy name. Once again, we appreciate all our members that have returned, and we remember those that are still outside, that are still in vacation. We are using Pastor Abraham as point of contact, as many will be planning to return this coming week. Father, grant them journey mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, God Almighty, whosoever that is here, that is also planning to travel, grant him or her journey mercy in Jesus' name. We pray, God Almighty, your presence shall never depart from us in Jesus' name. And as we live here, let your presence leave us in Jesus' name. Let it guide us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it lead us in a way that we every time we submit ourselves to him in the mighty name of Jesus. All our program this year, everything is in your hand. Take control in Jesus' name. Most especially, we pray for 40 years anniversary. No regional crisis will stop it in Jesus' name. Everything we plan, Lord, you will execute the plans for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we joyfully share the grace together in fellowship? And may that grace... with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace in Jesus' name.